Looking through the lens of our camera, we have caught some unbelievable moments when it comes to professional bass fishing. How do they do it? Hell, we don't know. We're just camera guys.
All right, well, welcome back. We're BJ-less. We have no... BJ's not allowed on the podcast until he gets done with those videos.
That's the rule.
That's the rule. When we started this podcast, the guy said, as long as it doesn't take away from your job and you've got your work done, then by all means, do a podcast, do whatever. Mark even told us we should start filming them. And I said, dude, we've already got enough to edit. Like, let's calm down.
We do have too much. We were actually talking about that, how we have so much going on.
There's no way we could. I edit the audio and I have to listen back to every minute just to make sure that there's nothing in it that we don't want, whatever. And that takes up almost an hour if we're just doing an hour podcast.
Yeah.
So anyway, so if you watched Dustin's channel, he did a pseudo podcast with the guys and I gave him the idea from what I wanted us to do on this podcast. Since it's the end of the season, what was your highs and what was your low of the season? Now, again, BJ's not here, so he can't speak on it.
We know what his high would be.
His high would have to be filming Adrian winning, yeah. I would think.
Cayuga.
Yeah. And his low, probably hitting a tree right out of the gate. When he ran it, I would think that. I mean, that's a great first impression. Like, yeah. you ran it into a tree. It's got to be something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, nothing else.
Should I give you, these tournaments that we go to, I don't know.
You know?
So, anyway, we're BJ-less, it's just me and Colin.
I got to bring something up, though, here.
Yeah.
We brought it up last podcast about BJ.
Yeah.
He's running these charters.
Yeah.
And we called him out, and he did it again.
He won back-to-back tournaments, and yet he still takes pictures with all these kids with these like little 12-inch.
He won again.
It's unbelievable.
He's holding out.
He is. Listen, if you sign up with a charter with BJ, you're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
But you're not going out to where the bigs are.
Yes.
You're going to catch some that you can probably take home and eat.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get a thick fillet. So
yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk about our highs and lows this season. This is, it's your first season on tour.
Yep.
You planning on coming back next year? Mark will have you. You're coming back?
That's my plan. I don't know if that's his plan. as far as I know, it's his plan.
Yeah. I think I'm coming back next year. Me and Dustin got to work out the little details, but I'm pretty sure I'm coming back. So we're probably going to keep this thing going. But I want to know highs and lows of this season.
Highs and lows, ebbs and flows.
Do you want to start?
I'll start. I got it now.
You're low?
I got both of them now.
What do you want to start with, high or low?
Don't matter. Let's start with the lows.
All right, start with the lows.
Me first.
Okay, go for it.
So I think it's got to be Cherokee Douglas for me. So,
oh, yeah. No, I remember this.
I fly in like... I think he was group B maybe. So I fly in, the tournament's already started. I've missed practice. He's filmed it. So it's already kind of like we get in our groove through practice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Get like our gear situated and everything. And so I'm rolling in late. Actually, you rolled in late too.
I did. Yeah.
But I roll in late. American misplaced my luggage. Didn't have my luggage. And then like we've talked about this, they misplaced my luggage. And then I had COVID literally 24 hours after I've been there. It's like 103 fever. So I get there. I filmed one day. So they lost my luggage and it was like 16 degrees or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally in sweatpants and two hoodies. BJ loaned me his hoodie. Thanks, BJ.
Yeah.
And yeah,
these tournaments are you just gotta be prepared, you know? Like you just never know what's gonna happen, you know? Go ahead, sorry.
And so yeah, just I flew in late, kinda like not in my groove, misplaced, they lost my luggage, it's cold, I ended up getting COVID. And like I was there for like a day and a half and Mark just drove me back to to Knoxville, and I crashed in a hotel for like 2 days until my flight, and I flew home. So just kind of sucked, you know?
Yeah.
It was like most of these events are like, they're strung out over like 10 days. They're super long.
Unbelievably long.
And this one was like 1 day.
Yeah.
It was like 1 day. It was the complete opposite. So that's probably my low. I mean, I think I can speak for everybody. Nothing like, well, maybe not. I don't know yours, but nothing like really bad happened, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's probably my low point. I can't really think of anything else.
So I have two.
Two lows.
I have two. One's more specific, and I got to be very careful because I don't know that I'm supposed to talk about it. So I got to be careful. So my low was actually from Heavy Hitters this year.
Okay.
And it didn't happen during Heavy Hitters. It happened in the editing room after Heavy Hitters. So there was a comment about a particular league boat.
Oh.
You remember this?
Yes, I do now.
You'll never find it. If you're listening to this, you'll never find it because I took it out. But I left a comment that Dustin made because I thought it was funny. Like, I thought it was a funny comment. It was a little bit out of context, but it was funny.
Yeah.
And it about got us $1,000 fine.
Yeah.
There were some phone calls made between different companies and MLF, and it was 100% my mistake because it was one of those things where when I was editing, I literally looked at my wife. She was standing right beside me when I was editing it, and I said, I'm not sure I should leave this in here, but it's really, really funny. And she was like, well, I mean, just talk to him about it. I got approval.
Yeah, he approved it in your defense.
I got approval, and I was like, okay, cool.
He approved it probably without actually approving it.
Yeah, I don't know that he actually saw it. Good. However, there were comments that were made on it. There was a TikTok that was made on it. Yeah,
that's one thing I wanted to bring up. So, like, these guys are at the top, right?
Yeah.
That got brought to light through a TikTok.
That we didn't even make.
Right.
If you hear that in the background, that was the washing machine.
That was brought to light from a TikTok that somebody just basically screen recorded from their phone.
Yep.
Make a TikTok.
Because they also thought it was funny.
Yeah, it goes.
But a little bit clout chasing too. Like you're trying to get views off of our stuff.
Yeah. And we had a clip from one of our rate debates. It's not bad, but somebody, it was when we were at Gunnersville and Jacob was talking about his chatterbait that he has, that the cease and desist or whatever. Yep. And that was, I'm scrolling TikTok and that's on the TikTok and everybody's like, what is he throwing?
Yeah.
And everybody's making their guess. And it's just strange. Like our stuff can just
magically appear in different places.
Yeah.
That wasn't intended.
Yeah.
Well, what ended up happening, and I've got to be very careful. There's no names that are going to be named on any of this, but there was a comment made about a particular boat. The owner of the brand was upset about it. It just got out of hand real quick. So I thought I was either about to lose some money because I thought if we have to.
Yeah, you were paying the fine.
I thought I was having to pay the fine because it was my fault, or I was going to lose my job. That kind of stuff. And y'all listening, y'all may think differently. Like, oh, it's just whatever. It's just a little fine, you know. But we're all perfectionists, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't like knowing that I messed up. And it wasn't even that I messed up. Like I missed it. Like I intentionally did that. It was just a judgment mess up.
Yeah.
And for me, that affected me pretty bad. I talked about it, I don't know, all week.
Yeah.
About how bad it affected me.
Yeah. No, I didn't remember that at first, but as soon as you said Heavy Hitters, I remembered.
Yeah, that was definitely probably the lowest single moment. The other is technology in general. I've had so many issues with GoPros and different malfunctions all year. A lot of it, again, I created. Trying to do this wireless mic thing at the first of the year, it worked great for a while.
You're just listening to the fans.
They can't hear him. Like, the fans cannot hear yeah. Dustin when because he doesn't wear a chesty. So I tried doing the wireless mic thing to the GoPros. The first like three or four stages, it worked out great. And in Gunnersville, it just stopped working. Like, I literally had one day where I had no audio. The audio from that GoPro, you're actually in, I think it was day one video. That's the, all the audio in that video is from the back camera, which is facing the complete wrong way. And I just really cranked it up just so you could barely hear. And then, I mean, we've gone through two sets of wireless mics this year, trying to find something that'll work. GoPros that randomly quit. This week, we had a DJI that just, I think it was the card that was in it wasn't fast enough or whatever, because we switched camera brands to DJI now. And it just froze in the first 10 minutes. I have nothing from day one. So if you're listening to this and you haven't seen his day one video, you're in for a shock, because there's really not a whole lot of fishing going on, because we didn't get anything. Like, it's just been an overarching theme all year that something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And it's been extremely, this has been a trying year technology wise for me.
Yep. I've had a couple instances where there was like, it was around Cayuga, like our GoPros were just freezing.
Yep. You're running a GoPro 11. I was running a 10 and they were just freezing.
And like, so you turn it on and it's recording, right? And then Mark gets back from the, like when the day's over, and like it's on his chest and it's plugged up normal and it's just red, and you can't stop recording. You can't turn it off on nothing. The only way to reset it is to pull the battery out.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you lose all your footage.
Yeah. It could corrupt all the files.
Right. And so it corrupts the most recent, like, start stop.
Yeah.
Well, in his case, the start was at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And there was no stop. So, boom, whole day gone.
The thing is, I was talking to somebody at the boat ramp this morning about it. We're using these products not as intended.
No, we're
like,
not.
Like, we, Dustin has said many times, like, we'll buy a new GoPro at least every year. Like, new. And he's like, dude, we should be able to get more than a year out of them. But if you really break down how much we're using them, probably 3 to 4 times.
Yeah.
Let's just 3 or 4 years worth of work for a GoPro that a normal person wouldn't. Two practice days at 10 to 12 hours, depending on the time of year. You've got 8 hours on the water, up to 4 days in a week. So in a single tournament,
let's call it knockout, right?
The average. Up to knockout. So
that's 3 days, 3 8-hours. That's 24. And then
low key 8.5, because we start at like 15 minutes before blast off and we get them back 15 minutes after.
Call it 26 hours.
Yep.
And then practice between the 2 days, average maybe 10 hours. That's like another 20. So what is that? 46 times
nine.
Yeah. 9 events this year, 414 hours
on a single camera.
That's on a single camera
running straight in the rain, the heat.
Yes.
Like, we put them
It gets hot from running that. Yeah.
And it gets hot. You're right. It gets hot itself from running. A lot of times I run them without an internal battery because they'll overheat with an internal battery and they'll turn themselves off.
Yeah. We're not just going on a dive
in
the water for 7 minutes, then, you know, posting it on Facebook.
And here's the other thing. You start off in the wintertime and like, it's too cold. You have to have the internal battery back in just to keep it warm enough to function. Like, we're really putting these things through some paces, and it's a wonder they don't fail more, but gosh, when they do, it's heartbreak. You've got so much on the line.
Yeah.
And you're putting it in the hands of this little bitty 3x4 square or rectangle on the front of his boat. So I've come up with the solution now. From here on out, for as long as I work with Dustin, he's going to have two cameras facing forward in his boat.
Yeah. We luckily have that just the way we run ours. And y'all don't, which is because y'all run one forward, one backwards. We run two forward.
Yeah. We're going to change it up next year though. Like, I'm going to put a different angle. So I'm going to have one like on the console and the one on the like, near the passenger seat. So I can just bounce back and forth between.
The one on the passenger seat is going to like be on like the gunwale or something.
Yep.
But you're going to face it like across where you can see him land it.
Yep. So I can just bounce back. Yeah. I can bounce back and forth from either side. It'll give a different angle and it'll be it's not a subtle angle change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have one facing backwards.
Yeah. Interesting.
I just got to change it up, especially even if it's just to give you a different perspective.
Yeah. I wish there was a way to one run on the front and face it back. But
I know, but you got to get it further out there.
It's too close.
Yep. So I actually did this one time. This is just side note. I actually did that one time. I mounted it to the up near the graph up front. It was the first tournament I ever filmed for Dustin. It was actually a open on Lay Lake. He just hopped in a BASS open. The hate that I got from that angle, because everybody kept calling it the crotch angle, because there's really no, because he's standing up. Mm-hmm. So you're having to aim it up, and the center of the screen is his crotch.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, you loved it, but most people were not. Also got crucified in those videos because I put like the standard beats we use, like during blast off and stuff, except I picked one that had lyrics in it.
God forbid.
Let me tell you, if you put lyrics from it, it better be an instrumental. That's all I'm going to say. If you put lyrics in a song while they're going, there's always going to be people that don't like it for whatever reason. And the lyrics actually fit with what was happening. It was like, I was like, dude, this is perfect. And it was not perfect. I learned a very valuable lesson that tournament. So anyway, those were the lows, that technology and then one just editing mess up, mental mess up. I just made a judgment call. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I almost had to pay for it.
Literally.
Everything ended up, everybody talked it out and we were all cool. We removed it from the video and it was all good. But yep, messed up. That was on me. And I mean, I'll leave a cuss word every now and then in there on accident, but that happens.
Yep.
Those aren't that big of a deal anymore.
No. All right. So let's go the other way.
Yeah. Highs.
Highs.
What's your highs?
For me, I'm going to have to say St. Clair was fun just because he did good. But my high was probably Cayuga because I got to fish.
Yep.
So that's weird. My high was Cayuga.
Yeah.
That's funny. But, we got to fish. Like we went up there, what, a day, 2 days early, something like that, before practice. We fished Seneca, Oswego is the name, I think. And so I've never caught smallie before, so I got to catch some smallmouth, caught a pike, rock bass, perch, everything, fish fry. It was good. Weather was, well, the temperature was nice. The air quality was not nice.
No, it was not. Gosh. And it followed us everywhere.
From then on. Like, there's some of it out here.
I know. It's crazy. That was like 3 months ago.
They need to put them fires out.
You ain't lying. Look, I don't know if anyone in Canada is listening, there's a thing called a controlled burn. You might want to start doing it. Like,
Yeah. They definitely lost control. So, yeah, I mean, it was nothing like, no event wins yet.
Yep.
Mark's in third. Jacob is now in second. I'm watching.
Shocker.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was probably the high. It was just like a good, good event. Got to do some fishing finally. Like I said, everybody always, do you get to fish? Like, do they let you fish? No, they can't. Yep. They can't. But that was one of the ones where.
New York is so unique in the fact that there's so many lakes beside each other.
Yeah.
Right. And you had said
Finger Lakes.
Yeah. The Finger Lakes. And you had said at the beginning of the season, I just want to catch smallmouth. Like I really want to catch smallmouth.
Yeah.
And I told you, everybody told you, hey, when we go to New York for Cayuga, that's going to be the one. Cause there's so many lakes around.
Yeah.
The thing is everybody doesn't realize like in at least the southern part of the United States where we typically stay. If you go to one lake, it's not like you're there. There's not another lake really around it. And we're not allowed to fish off the boat and practice. Like that's technically a competitive advantage because what if I catch one and it clues them in? Like, yeah. Well, if my dumb camera guy that doesn't know how to fish caught one on this, I could probably wreck them on it. You know what I mean? Like it's
exactly,
we're not allowed to, we're really not allowed to do anything other than film. Like we can sit in the boat. We're actually not even allowed to point out things. So if we see a fish blow up, we can't even point it out. Like, oh, did you see that over there? Like, we're not allowed to do any of that.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to stay seated and silent and just be like, hey, if I showed raw video of me sitting in the passenger seat, nine times out of 10, I'm asleep, right? Like a lot. I fall asleep a lot in that boat because it gets boring sometimes. Or he comes and sits in the behind the console, and I go, okay, give me an update where we're at today. Like, what are we doing? Like, how did we get from where we just were to here? Like, tell me what your thought process is. And that's really all the talking we're really allowed to do.
Yep. Or so just talk like non-fishing related.
Yeah, we can talk about just stuff.
Yeah.
Which then you start doing that, and then they set the hook in the middle of it, and you're like, well, crap, now I've ruined my own shot.
Exactly.
That happens all the time.
All the time.
So it's a weird job. Like, we get to be out on the, oh, you get to be on the water. Yeah, but we can't do anything. I can hold a camera and point it at him. That's pretty much it. That's it. That's all I get to do.
Yeah. So what's yours?
I got two of them. I got two of them again. Again, one overarching, one very specific. My very specific one was at Lake Norman. And this was more of a, this is, again, kind of a, on like your thing. Like, you wanted to catch a smallmouth. Dude, I'm a huge NASCAR fan.
Oh,
giant. That was at Lake Norman, North Carolina.
Okay. I was thinking Red Crest when you went to the Hall of Fame.
It's still all Red Crest, like in Lake Norman.
Oh, I'm... Yes, you're right.
That's in Charlotte.
It's
been a long season, bud. It has. It's been a long one. We've been a lot of places.
Yeah.
And I set this deal up in practice. I told Dustin, you know, hey, it'd be really a good idea, like, very selfish of me. Like, we're in Charlotte. It's like the NASCAR capital of the United States. You're sponsored by Bass Pro. Several of those guys are sponsored by Bass Pro. Surely we could set something up. And the way it originated is Dustin got an email from one of the teams, a lower level team, saying, hey, we, you know, big fan, love to have you in tour. And Dustin goes, do you know anything about these guys? And I was like, they haven't really won anything. I was like, however, there is a team that wins a lot. So Joe Gibbs, right? Bass Pro sponsors Martin Truex Jr. I was like, if we could get in that, that would be amazing. He said, so you don't even want to fool with this other team? I said, well, we can't get anybody else. If we're going, let's go.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. Again, I'm not allowed to talk during practice. So I'm on my phone and I'm on LinkedIn. I'm looking up, trying to find email addresses to try to set all this up. Like, I'm some high and mighty person. Like, I just can pull strings like that. Well, I found the vice president of public relations, LinkedIn. He didn't have an email. And I literally just sent him a DM on LinkedIn on a Sunday. Have you? Like, they're racing out west. I'm like, there's no way he's going to answer this. This isn't going to happen. Within 10 minutes, the guy messages me back and said, hey, here's my email. Email me the details of this. This sounds interesting. I was like, oh, shoot. Like, I got a person. So I email him, give him Dustin's information, give him the background, even tell him, hey, if you're looking, this is Dustin's Bass Pro contact, like corporate contact, if you want to just verify who we are. And it was like the next day, we're touring Joe Gibbs Racing on the shop floor. Like, Dustin got a set of racing gloves, like Martin Truex's gloves. Off the record, he gave me one of them. Like, he was like, dude, you want this, you need this more than me. The other glove, he said he was going to put it in a trophy case. It's still in his, like, center console in his truck, like, just with a bunch of garbage. Because I told him, I said, please, because he kept saying, I'm going to wear them, like, at Blast Off. And I was like, please don't do that. That's sports memory for me. Please don't do that. And he was like, you know what? You need this glove. And I was like, man, thanks. Like, appreciate that. But touring that facility and low key, we made, like, Dustin doesn't keep up with them at all, but like that vice president that got us in, like, I still keep up with them on text. Me and him text back and forth, like when Martin Truex has a win or the team has a win.
Are y'all still doing the...
Yeah. So like he's supposed to, off-season. I've got to reach out to him, but he's supposed to get us like garage passes and like team passes at Talladega this year, like in October. And we're supposed to tour. Now, here's a side note. That race is the same day as the last day of Jacob's high school event. And Dustin normally works that high school event. So I texted Dustin. I was like, dude, I don't think we're going to be able to go. Like, you're going to work the... And Dustin is like, he called it employee appreciation. He said, no, we're going. We're going to Talladega. He said, you want to go? We're going. He said, you've done so much for me. We're going. He said, I'm going to tell Jacob no. And apparently at ICAST, he told him, dude, I can't do it. Like, we've got this engagement. It's with Bass Pro. Like, we've got to go. Low-key, it's for me, though. So, I felt special. He made his little camera guy feel special. So, I'm supposed to set that up. I've got to text the guy after this tournament and get it all lined up. But that's going to be really, really cool. So, that was my specific thing, was Lake Norman. The other thing, though, and I'm going to hit you on some sentimental stuff, is you and BJ. And I've said this to y'all off the record before.
Yeah.
This was going to be my last season. like 100%, I was done. I'm having to be away from my family so much. I've got two young kids. I've got a what's going to be a four-year-old this month, and then I've got a 10-month-old. And I'm missing a lot of the stuff with the 10-month-old. And it's been rough on me this year. Like this tournament in particular, I've been wanting to go home. Like I just miss them.
Yeah.
And y'all have become my family away from home. Because, listen, I love hanging out with Jacob, love hanging out with Dustin, Mark, Adrian, all those guys. They're really, really cool. But they talk fishing 24/7. And I love fishing.
Yeah, we just don't have like
the knowledge that they have to be able to communicate about fishing as much. Like they're throwing out all these very specific techniques that I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. Like I've got an idea, but
they tell like fishing stories
from and I just
this
can't.
Lake 4 years ago, whatever.
And I just can't relate.
Yeah.
But with y'all guys, it's like we started our own little crew of talking about YouTube and cameras, like they talk about fishing, and it made life for me so much easier.
Yeah.
To the point where I got back, I told my wife after like, I think the third or fourth event, like, hey, I've got to run this back. Like, those have become my boys. Like we talk on the phone so much. We're always texting, like even outside the events. And I don't expect that to change in the off season.
Yeah.
Like I talked to BJ probably two or three times this week.
Yeah.
Like he just wanted an update on how things were going.
Yeah.
And
wasn't just us though. Like y'all's stuff kind of popped this year.
No, it did. It did. And that would have been hard to walk away from.
Yeah, you don't want to walk away from that.
In all seriousness, I was prepared to walk away.
Yeah.
Just because I
it's tough, dude.
It's a young man's game. I've said that so many times. This is a young man's game.
And when you say young, not 27 like me young, like
no, low key
18
like
18 young.
Yeah, like you need to be, that sweet spot is probably 22.
Yeah.
Because you can get into casinos, bars, wherever we're going to go eat, whatever. But you're still young enough that you're not fully established with a family.
Right.
You can just drop everything and go.
Yeah.
It's a young man's game.
You're going to have to.
And it's physically exhausting.
Yeah.
Waking up at the times we got to wake up.
Yeah.
Staying up as late as we stay up. And sometimes you're. Even when you're super tired, you've got to do an edit and get it done. And we work odd hours.
Yeah. It's like, especially back to like we were talking about yesterday with all these different videos for these different channels. Now it's like our day starts, let's call it now, right? Yeah. I'm waking up like 5:15, right?
Yep.
So from 5:15 until they get back, they talk, we film a little bit of that. And then like the last since day one of the tournament, we've had videos to shoot when they get back every day. So they get back, they kind of talk about their day for 30 minutes or whatever, change clothes, whatever. And then we film for like an hour. And then like with this event, they're trailering, they're off the water at 4:00. By the time they drive back an hour, drop the official, they're not getting here until like 6:00.
Yep.
Cut up like 6:30. So then we film a video like boom, 7:30. We're done filming the video. Then we go eat. Then we get back, you know, 9:00, whatever, 9:30.
They're too tired. They want to chill. And that, so I know
it's
from
like
a fan perspective, everybody's kind of frustrated. Like, well, what happened to all like the behind the scenes talk at the house? And
yeah.
And look, I'm going to shoot you 100% straight. Because if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to give you the juice, right? There's two factors, in my opinion. You brought up one yesterday to me that I had sort of considered, but the way you explained it made more sense, right?
Yeah.
And then something that I saw last year that changed how we film at the house.
Yeah.
During the tournaments, I know the fans, because I would hate it too. It's been very tournament heavy. There hasn't been so much cutting up at the house or those candid moments where they're just acting goofy. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, 2 years ago, there was a absolutely no talking about fishing at all policy, right? You can't say what you caught them on. You can't say general
area,
like, oh, I was catching them on docks.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't allowed to say nothing, which now you can say, I caught them on docks. You just can't say, I caught them on that dock on this row, right? You can't give specific. And low key, the guys don't really want to. They don't want you to know specifically where they are. It's just like, yeah, I'm catching them in like 14 foot of water.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of 14 foot of water around it. Oh, you like what kind of 14 foot of water? Oh, you know, it's got like chunk rock around it.
Yeah. Because like the last, they're all really good friends, right? But the last thing they want is for day one of the tournament for Mark and Dustin to roll up on the same spot.
Right.
To have the same spot.
Yep.
Because they kind of like clued each other in.
Yeah. It's not a, it's not, that's a not good,
they don't want
they
that.
They don't want it.
No. Yeah.
So, well, 2 years ago, they weren't allowed to say anything. They couldn't even like share baits. They couldn't share line. Like, it's not like, hey, I ran out of hooks. Can I borrow some of these style hooks? Even though you're not even using that kind, can I borrow them?
Go to Walmart.
Yeah. Go to Walmart. You look, I can't help you. I don't have them. Like, or I can't give them to you.
Yeah.
Well, they relax the rule a little bit. And you can't give specifics, you can't give waypoints, but you could talk about how your day went, which these guys, they love doing it. Like, oh, dude, I lost a 4-pounder in like a grass line.
Yeah.
Like it was an insane bite, but like it just came off, whatever. They like talking about that. Well, right or wrong, there is a group of fans that just don't like us. So if I put in a video that they're even talking about anything, the immediate reaction is, see, I told you they're sharing information. They're doing something they shouldn't be doing, when actually now it's completely legal and they're very strict about it. Like they're very strict about what they say and what they don't say.
Yeah.
Like I was shocked when I first got hired and was running around, like there was this, you can't tell me anything. Like every other word, that was the motto of my first year is you can't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. And they would tell each other that, like, so you were sorry, you can't tell me anything. They walk away, right? Like they knew.
Yeah.
They're not trying to, I would say they're under a microscope by so much that they know they can't step out not even once because they're going to get popped for it.
Yep.
And the public perception is they get away with murder when it actually, I'm telling y'all, just from living in this house, totally the opposite. But because they can talk now a little bit about how their day went or even really anything, they're open to talk about fishing in general. That's all they do. And I can't put it in a video because fan perception or hater perception really is going to be that, oh, see, they're sharing information. They're doing this when it's really not. It's not like that at all.
No.
But I can't do it because perception's everything.
Yeah.
So I can't put that in the video. So we stopped sort of filming so much behind the scenes last year. And then this year, we're always filming videos. And a lot of it is, again, our own making. Like we hate it. We like it. You were a fan before you got here. Yeah. I was a fan before I got
everything.
Here. I love the behind the scenes stuff. That was the funniest stuff to me.
And that's what built like their strong audience.
Right. But now we can't really film it because we're either filming other videos. Cause as soon as we get off the water, we either got to film a Rate the Bait. We got to film Flip Pong, which is something podcast. That you do. Yeah. I do a podcast. Like we did a podcast this week. We're trying to get so much other content that it hurts the tournament content. It makes it very tournament heavy.
Yeah.
Which low key, I think there's an audience that only loves the tournament.
Yeah.
But it hurts us overall with the returning audience that just loves watching the group, which is frustrating on my part. I know it's frustrating on your part, but it is what it is. I think those are the two key factors is that we're either filming too much this year, but it's not really too much. We have to have it.
Yeah.
Or that they're allowed to talk and we know public perception is that we can't show them talking because people are going to have this crazy outcry that they're sharing information when they're actually doing something totally legal and they're not even giving each other really information.
Yeah.
They're just saying how their day went. It really blows my mind how much hate there is out there. And that's the other thing. And I'll dive into it, but we're not going to dive into it. I don't want to put us on in a comfortable spot. There has been every tournament, there's been some kind of controversy.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. That's kind of like the third thing why, at least from the midpoint of the season on, there's been something that we're not going to get into all the details of every one.
Yep.
But there has been something, you know, pretty significant happen at every event, whether it's internal, external, whatever.
Yep.
And it's like, it kind of just lingers throughout the whole time we're here.
Yep.
And
it consumes the conversations.
Yeah.
And we're not going to go any more than that, but it's made it where we haven't been able to low key film the videos that we ourselves like watching.
Yeah.
They just become very tournament heavy.
Or we stage something.
Or we have to stage, come close the video. And it's it's not as candid
yeah.
as we'd like it to be. That may be a low. That may be an overarching low from this year because it's been disappointing on me. Like yeah. me and you have talked about it. It's worn out. It's worn me out. Like I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
Like right now I'm burnt out.
Because like, you know, we try to shoot for a little bit of that banter in every video.
Yeah.
Every tournament video. And, you know, there's been a few times, maybe like twice throughout the season where Mark will be like, hey, you know, like, let's try to get a little bit more banter, you know, like, mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not that I'm purposely like not putting it in. I want to put it in,
yep.
but I don't want to like have to be on edge the whole time,
mm-hmm.
like worrying that I'm going to miss it. Or I don't want to just record you the whole time.
Yep.
And then, oh, there's that 3 minute section that I need.
Yep.
It's not even realistic.
No, it's not. So that's been a tough part of the season. Like I mean, on just a complete side note, like it's like I told you, it's worn me down. Like I have not wanted to be here really all week because I knew the videos I was going to shoot.
Y'all remember what he said in this last podcast?
That I was so happy to like, I couldn't wait to leave.
I'm ready to go, man.
I couldn't wait to leave. it was a long month. And then all of a sudden I wasn't mentally in it. And I tried to be mentally in it for this tournament, but I fell back into the same thing of the videos look the same to me. You know what I mean? It's the same almost shots. It's the same sequences. It's the same template. And I want to change it up so bad. And I was telling Dustin this morning, I feel like I'm kind of handcuffed because how much can you show different when the every day is almost the same? You wake up, you load the truck, you go to the boat ramp, you launch the boat, drone shots, you go back home, you edit, you go pick you up, you get a closing of the video, bop, there's your video.
Yeah.
It's the same thing over and over again. If we had more of that banter and more of that stuff, I think I'd probably like it because it gives me something different.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what changes the video is the stuff that happens around it. The tournament is always pretty much the same. The guy goes fishing. He either catches a big one and has a great day or he doesn't and he doesn't have a good day. And then you come back. It's really that behind the scenes at the house stuff that sets the video apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just not getting it. And it's mentally wearing me down.
Yeah. You know what else wore you down this week?
What was that?
That tire situation.
Oh my gosh. That's a low. That was a low. That was a big low. I don't know why I didn't think about that. So listen to this. So here's the story behind this. And y'all may have seen some of it on Instagram. I know Brody filmed a little bit of it for Jacob's stuff. I don't know if it's going to make it in their video. I obviously couldn't film any of it because I was living it like I was in the middle of it. So Dustin's got this. I think it's a 2500 High Country diesel Duramax. Big sucker.
New truck.
Yeah, new truck. Big sucker. Not lifted like Jacob's. 8-inch lift. Not an 8-inch lift. Just a regular High Country lift. Anyway, it's day two. Dustin is literally on the cut line in a three-way tie, and he's lost both tiebreakers because he doesn't have as big of a fish as the two guys in front of him. He's like 20. His no, what was that?
Was it like
2709 was the cut weight at the time. Like that. It was like 20 minutes to go. I left a whole 15 minutes early from the house to make sure I got there to pick him up on time, just in case. My fear was that we were going to miss the cut on a tiebreaker. He was going to be the first man out, right? He's going to be in a really bad mood. This is not going to be good. I need to get there early. Let's pick him up. Let's just get on the road, right? Let's just get going. Well, I'm driving. I've made it probably 10 minutes down the road, and I hear the front tire going tat, 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 as I'm driving. I'm thinking, I got a rock in the tire. Whatever. Big deal. But it's loud. Like, it's loud. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Then all of a sudden I hear, ka-ting. And I was like, okay, rock came out. We're all good. Now, these tires run at about 65 to 70 pounds of pressure in the tire. Like, it's a lot of pressure in the tire. It didn't take but like 60 seconds. And the light goes off in the truck and says 13 pounds of pressure. And I went, uh-oh. That wasn't a rock. Like, you know what I mean? Uh-oh. Yeah. That went quick. Like,
that
it
was a sharp rock.
It was quick. Like, it went down quick. I was on the phone with my wife, I believe, at the time. I think it was my wife. It was either my wife or my mom. I'm pretty sure it was my wife. And I missed my turn to get on the on-ramp of the interstate. And I had to go over an overpass to make a U-turn. It was in the middle of that U-turn that it said 13 pounds of pressure. If I would have been on the interstate, I would have been in bad shape.
Honey, not Houston. Honey, we have a problem.
We have a problem. So I told my wife, I was like, hey, I got to get off the phone. Like, I hopped out and looked at the front tire, and it was already on the rim. Like, when I pulled in that little spot, and I was like, no big deal. So a lot of y'all don't know this. Like, I'm a car guy. I like working on my cars. I've got an old 1978 CJ5 Jeep that I've restored, turned every bolt on. Changing a tire, ain't no thing. Got this. So I hop out, find his jack, get his stuff. Well, fun fact on those high countries, the jack that comes with the truck is just a little too short for that lift. So it will lift the tire off the ground, but not enough to get the new tire on. So I was like, dang, I need like one or two more inches. Shout out to all my guys that say the same thing all the time, right? Like, those inches are valuable, okay? Like, I just need 1 to 2 more inches and I'd be straight. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting there looking around like, maybe we got like a 2x4. Like, if I could just sit this jack on a 2x4, I'd be good. Then I remember Dustin's got a floor jack in the back of his car. Perfect. Well, if you know anything about a floor jack, when you jack up the jack, it's got to roll because it's got to pendulum that truck up. Well, on the concrete I was on, it was old, worn out asphalt. It wasn't concrete, it was asphalt. It couldn't roll, so it kept slipping off the truck. And I was like, dadgummit. So I finally call y'all. Y'all are out filming a video. Speaking of filming videos in the downtime, y'all were out filming a video, and I said, hey, where y'all at? And y'all were like 5 minutes away. And I was like, help your boy out. Like, I am in trouble. Like, I'm on the side of the road. Dustin has been done fishing now probably 5 minutes. I've talked to him. And then he's like, you've got my truck and trailer. What do I do? And I was like, well, I'm 20 minutes away from you if I had a good tire now. Like, I don't know what to tell you to do other than just wait.
Head south.
Yeah. So he headed back toward the house, and he was just going to wait at a boat ramp for me down there. You, Mark, Adrian show up. Shout out to Miller Tech, because we could not find a 2x4. We couldn't find anything.
I'm just saying, if I was these guys,
yeah,
I would be prepared.
No, I 100% agree.
I would have an impact.
Right. No, we didn't have that.
I would have, you know, anyway, keep going. Shout out Miller Tech.
So I got the lugs loose on the tire before I lifted it like you're supposed to do. I just needed it lifted. I could have got the thing done if I could have just lifted the truck. Like, I was prepared. I was ready. I couldn't lift it. Adrian comes up with this crackpot idea of, we're going to take this Miller Tech 36-volt charger, which is about 2.5 inches tall, of aluminum, and we're going to sit the jack on it, and we're going to jack it up. I am almost
positive. Battery charger.
A battery charger, yeah.
Literally a battery charger.
It's the only thing we had.
The only thing.
But it worked.
Yeah.
Like, it worked, and I believe the charger still works. The fan on top still spins. So shout out that. Like, Adrian took a picture of it and sent it to the owners of Miller Tech. Was like, check this out. Like, and it was holding up his truck. So we changed that tire, and I went and picked up Dustin. Also, huge shout out if you're in the Bay City area. I just got to give them a shout out. I don't even think you know this.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I went and was going to go get the tire patched, and I took it to Rowley Tire over here in Bay City. They hooked me up for free. Like, they put the patch in. They even said, hey, looks like you put a rubber plug in there, which these tires, for whatever reason, are just prone to have nails in them. So we plugged a bunch of them. We pulled that plug. We patched it. No charge. I hope y'all catch them tomorrow. And I was like, man, thank you so much. I was like, but y'all did a service. You know, I was trying to pay them. They wouldn't accept it. Yeah. They wouldn't. They were like, no, we appreciate y'all being in town and fishing. And so shout out them. Give them your business if you're ever in the Bay City area. Now it's almost 100 people that listen per episode. So if any of y'all 100 are in Michigan, yeah, check them out.
Shoot me a DM or something. Who are you?
You're right. That's what BJ said.
Who are you?
I said, we were out on the water in practice. I said, guys, we've almost got, like, at the time it was like 250 downloads. And you sent back, dude, we're pretty much famous. Yeah, like, we should just quit this filming gig. Quit. We'll just do podcasts. Yeah.
So who wants to sponsor us?
And BJ goes, who's listening to this? And I was like, dude, I don't know. Like, people.
DM me.
Right.
Who are you?
So.
But speaking of, as we wrap this up, shout out just Bay City in general.
They've been really, really welcoming.
Somebody told us that this place, you know, this event is, you know, called Saginaw Bay, right?
Yep.
They call it Sag Nasty.
Yeah.
Which can't be good.
Yeah.
That's can't be good. But Bay City, this place is like vibe.
It's nice.
I like this place.
There's you go downtown Bay City and downtown you can just walk Bay City and get food.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Bunch of little restaurant and bars. They had like people like outside, like they had like these little event kind of things, dancing and stuff. And the weather has been great.
Yep.
We're on the water. It's just been,
I mean, the way everybody built it, we were kind of dreading it. Like, oh, geez, we're not going to be able to
get our stuff stolen.
We're going to get our stuff stolen. We're not going to be able to get any food. And this has honestly been one of the better ones.
Yep.
That we've been to.
Yeah. As far as location, it's a good place to end it, you know?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the fishing has not been as good as they wanted it to be.
Right.
But
the smallmouth fishing hasn't.
Yeah, smallmouth fishing, because it's been hard to find them.
Unless your name is Matt.
Yeah. unless your name is Wheeler or Van Dam, you've had a toughie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. This is obviously recorded before Championship Day, but I have a feeling, and I could be totally wrong on this, I have a feeling the big goat, right? Big goat's going to hoist a trophy, and I kind of feel like baby goat's going to hoist a trophy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
looking like it.
I mean, right now, what we're looking at, I think Van Dam has some tricks up his sleeve.
So, if you're Kevin.
Yep.
And you win this.
Yeah. Do you pull a Brady and come out of retirement?
No.
Okay.
Do you call it now?
Yeah.
Or do you, because I think he's talked about fishing Red Crest.
He's going to fish Red Crest and heavy hitters.
Do you just call it end on a win?
No.
You have to.
No. No, you don't. He's got actually a lot of good history on Lay Lake. He's won a classic at Lay Lake.
Really?
He has, yeah.
Dang, man. But
honestly,
I know he wants the Red Crest.
Here's the deal.
That's probably the only thing he doesn't have.
Here's the deal. In the movie that they're going to inevitably make about his life, they're just going to stop it at he won his last regular season event. Yeah. That's where I would stop it, right? I'd be like, unless he wins Red Crest. He won the last regular season event, and then he went and won Red Crest.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't go to heavy hitters if I won Red Crest. I'd be like.
Especially if it's at Caney.
I'd be sitting there, and I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a feeling about this week, and that would be awesome.
And the guys have even said, they said, hey. Kev's going to be hard to beat.
I don't like losing, but if I'm going to lose, I want him to win.
Yeah. They've said, hey, he's going to be hard to beat.
Yep. So, all right. That's our highs and lows. That's a pretty good little podcast right there, bud.
Yeah. Although this is the last one during the season, I think we'll continue these through.
We're going to try to do weekly. I mean, we may end up skipping a week here and there just because of schedules.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep this consistent. Low key, we're almost past the number of podcasts Dustin's done. He's been at it for like 2.5 years. He's got like 11 podcasts.
12 now. You did one this
week. Oh, yeah, we did 12. You're right. We did 12. And this is our number 5.
Yeah, we'll pass him up.
Easily.
Yeah.
We'll pass him before the end of September. So, anyway, we do appreciate y'all listening. Let's keep the audience growing. Share it with your friends. Because we've got a ton more stories. And as time passes, we can probably share some more of them.
Yeah.
We just got to let it pass.
Yep.
So anyway, y'all guys have a good one, and thanks for tuning in.